Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There it is. Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, and joining me today, Mike G. It's a War Rapport Wednesday. I missed you last week. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Had some wisdom teeth extracted last week, so I had to chill for a little bit to get myself together.
Well, I appreciate that, and glad you're back. Glad everything is good. You didn't need those teeth anyway. You didn't need those.
That's what the doctor said.
I'll take their word for it. So the game Saturday did not go very well. I didn't really hear a whole lot of your thoughts going into it. But coming out of it, what are the biggest takeaways in your mind?
Number one, and I think it's at the top of everybody's mind right now, is drops are a problem. We are on a record-setting pace for drops. Sure. In the post-game presser, I asked Coach about it. He said that he did not know the stat, but we're on pace for almost 50 drops, which is just under triple the amount of drops we had last year. Yikes. Mind you, we're going to play more games this year, but that rate is astounding. And given how they want to run offense, it's going to be hard to get anything going if we keep dropping the ball. So it has to be noted, a lot of these drops, of the 22 drops that we have so far this season, 8 of them are by non-wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So Shanker, Tank, and Shivers have dropped collectively 8 passes, right? For the rest of the receivers, again, Demetrius Robertson, it's a whole systemic problem with the drops. Now I have some thoughts on that. That's not completely all on them, but right now the passing game is in a state of disarray, and they're going to have to pull it together to finish out this schedule. Because let me tell you, we started the season with the second hardest schedule in the country, Zach.
Right.
And then, through 2-3 weeks, it looked like some of those games were more winnable. Mm-hmm. And then after the next 3 weeks, they look less winnable,
right,
in our state. So we're going to have to pull some things together there to kind of get this headed the right direction.
So you mentioned it's not all on them, the drops. What would you attribute it to?
Ball placement and touch are issues right now.
So you're in the camp that Bo throws it too hard.
We watch not necessarily always too hard, but we did a watch the film segment last night where we went through every play.
Yeah.
And touch does matter, especially when you're throwing to non-wide receivers. So, for some players who are not natural pass catchers, you got to help them out a little bit. You got to put a little air under it, make the ball more catchable. The interception that he threw to Shivers, listen, man, I watched that replay 6 ways to Sunday. He got beamed in the face with it. He could barely get his hands up fast enough to catch the ball, and it just bounced off him and then it was intercepted. So there was no reason to throw that ball. There were actually some other options on that play.
But it was clear who the first read was.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, going through your progressions is another thing.
But you don't need to go past the first progression if the first progression's open.
Yeah. You
only had to get 2 yards.
Yeah. When you look at that, he wasn't really that open, though. Like, he was open.
They just needed 2 yards. He was open for 2 yards.
Yeah, you got to throw it back. You got to make it. Give him a good chance to catch the ball is all I'm saying. Help him out, okay. Right? So, receivers can help the quarterback, but the quarterback can also help the receivers. That's a two-way street is all I'm saying. So not all on Bo,
okay.
Right? But not all on the receivers either. Same thing early in the first quarter. There was, just a quick out. A throw to the flat to Robertson. The ball was thrown with too much velocity out in front of him, and it got recorded as a drop, but he made that catch harder than it should have been. So, it goes both ways. Robertson is he just got here, right? He was a transfer from Georgia,
right?
And chemistry between receiver and quarterback definitely is an issue if ball placement isn't going to be perfect, right? So it seems like these receivers are struggling with where Bo expects them to be when he throws the ball. We see that a lot, right? Now, there were also some really great catches that got made on Saturday, despite ball placement that wasn't good. So it's not on any one person, I'm stressing, but there is some culpability from the QB position for some of these passes not being as catchable as they should be. And then conversely, look what Bennett did, man. You know, if you want an example, just look across the field. He did a good job just making his ball super catchable.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes in and yeah, gets the ball to his playmakers and you know, he uses the talent of the guys around him.
Yeah, there were some things that were just blatant though, Zach. Like the drop by Shedrick. There was a drop by Shedrick during the game that, I mean, again, 100% on Shedrick.
Sure.
He hit him in the numbers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was thrown exactly how it should have been thrown.
Right.
And he's got to catch it. And he tried to trap it rather than catch it with his hands, and he messed it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing that, you know, I asked Harsin in one of the post-game pressers was, you know, well, it was part of the question about the drops. Is how do you reevaluate this, man, with as many drops as you have? And, you know, his answer was, and I asked about Elijah Kenyon, why haven't we seen Kenyon? And he said, the guys that we put on the field, right, are the guys who are practicing well. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially is what he's getting at.
Right.
He goes, driving at. So,
That's kind of been the phrasing that he's used every time he's been asked that question, right?
Yeah. You know, and the question that I would have as a follow-up would be, but then what's not translating from practice to Saturdays?
Yeah.
If they're dropping this many balls. Now, we fired our wide receiver coach for what we've been told are performance reasons. And, you know, wasn't going to magically fix all our drop problems.
Sure.
There's some things for them to work on. Georgia, if anything, my biggest takeaway is just we have a lot to work on to make sure that this season, you know, they can finish off this season strong and look competitive against what really will be some tough teams.
Yeah. Glass half full way of looking at this past Saturday, right, is Georgia has done that to everyone, and Auburn was better against Georgia than every team that they've played so far, with the exception of Clemson, and they scored 10 points, and most teams have not scored 10 points against them.
Most teams have not scored offensive touchdowns.
Correct. So
period.
That's the glass half full way of looking at it. I'm not big on the whole transitive wins in sports, because I don't think it matters, because it's all about matchups and, you know, where the game's being played. And I mean, there's a million factors that go into it, but that's the glass half full way of looking at Saturday.
Yeah. The other glass half full way of looking at it was we did move the ball.
Yeah.
You're right. We moved the ball up and down the field on them, but we couldn't finish drives, and we had key mistakes that stopped those drives. The first rushing touchdown they've given up all season, they gave up to us. This team is still, I think, got a lot of talent, and this is a first-year head coach, and he's trying to figure out what he has, and, you know, he's trying to field a competitive team every week, but so is everybody else in the SEC. So, again, we did move the ball. The other glass half-full point, Zach, is we held Georgia to 36 yards rushing at the half. We made them one-dimensional, and eventually the run defense wore down, but with 3 minutes left in the second quarter, the third quarter.
Sure.
There was only 10 yards of total offense difference between these two teams. No.
And that's what I predicted going into the half. I thought it'd be a little bit closer at the half. I thought it'd be about a one-score Georgia lead, and then over the course of the second half, they would just pull away. And that's pretty much what happened, the way you just described it. I think that kind of lines up with that. And so, you know, and it's interesting. I was talking about this with Charlie Five yesterday. The game kind of went like a lot of people expected it to. And in some cases, it went better than some people may have predicted.
For sure.
And it's still hard to walk away from that game, even though it's kind of going the way you expected it to, and not kind of look ahead and be like, man, there's going to be some tough games, including the one this Saturday for these for this team.
Yeah, we've got to improve. I mean, that's the bottom line. This coach knows it. You know, he knows that they just flat out have to play better. On Monday, I also asked, you know, how do you get back to the run with teams loading the box against you every week and daring you to throw, coach? His response, I thought, was excellent. He said, we got to stop losing first and second down. Now, what I wanted to hear him say was, you know, again, about the passing game, right? you know, for as much as they, you know, when he said, you know, we got to start, we got to not lose early. We went back and we looked at the run pass balance since Penn State. He's absolutely right. It's about 50-50 until they get down. So they've got to find a way to win more early so that the run game stays viable, because that's where Auburn's strength is at.
Sure.
Now you do that by not dropping passes when your quarterback makes good throws, flat out. When Bo makes a throw, they got to help him out, right? And, you know, when Bo makes a throw, sometimes he's got to help the receiver out. You got to throw people open, help them out, man. It's a whole team. Beating Georgia was always going to be a whole team effort.
Sure.
It was never going to be on any one person. So if you're looking at that game and you blame Bo, you're off base. But if you're looking at that game and you're also only blaming the receivers or the line, you're also off base.
Yeah.
Right? So they've got to figure a way to come together as a unit. I will say this. In the aftermath of this game, Bo was doing an interview where he kind of called out the referees.
Yeah.
Now, Zach, I'm not a big fan of this, but he's absolutely right.
I think he is, too.
I think he was dead on. Some of those calls were egregiously missed. And in a game with a good team, it can stem the tide. You know, the one to Capers I thought was, you know, really egregious in the end zone. It would have been a touchdown. It was fourth down. And the referee was standing, I pointed out on the film review, he was standing 3 yards away looking at it from the right
staring
angle.
Right at it.
And,
right.
And did not see the DB holding Capers' right arm the whole time. Right. He could not even get his arm up to try to catch the ball because the DB was holding. He was early. And they didn't call it. And that would have been a fresh set of downs from the 2 yard line. Now, that's not to say we would have won the game, but Georgia doesn't need any more help from the refs, man. Like, I just was really disappointed. You know, we've had our fair share of help from the refs over the years, but I think the referees called a disappointing game.
The call on Roger early was the one that bothered me the most.
Yeah, the PI call.
It's like, that is what you want your corner to do.
Yeah, and it's his head around. And the receiver is trying to arm bar him.
Yeah.
What do you expect him to do?
Right.
I just did not understand that. Listen, the unsportsmanlike on Kaufman, I did not like. The game was kind of already out of hand by that point, but it was representative of how they were calling that game kind of against us. Now, he stepped over the receiver, but the receiver was already under him.
Right.
You know, like, I didn't understand what they want. Now, he did it with some attitude, but, like, he was going to have to step over him anyway.
You're playing football. Like, I'm right there with you.
I don't know, man. I think the refs, you know, when they go back and they get graded on their performance, they're going to grade out pretty bad for that game.
SEC refs for you. Hey, Mike G, our guest today. Hey, today's show brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks? I'll tell you about it. It is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too, specifically for the daily college sports fantasy action. Not a whole lot of places do daily college sports, but Prize Picks does. And be sure when you check them out at prizepicks.com, you use promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON. And any deposit you make, they will match it. Free money up to $100. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com today and use promo code LOCKEDON or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, let's talk about what's going to happen this Saturday, Mike G. This Arkansas team is pretty good. I think they're a pretty good team despite the way they played against Georgia and then, you know, just kind of slipping up against Ole Miss there. Not really playing a whole lot of defense against Ole Miss. This is a team that Auburn should be able to run the ball on and move the football against. I hope this offense kind of gets some confidence this Saturday. But a lot of pressure is going to be on this defense. And I talked to Chandler Wooten earlier today at the time of us recording this, and he just kind of listed a bunch of things that they do well. They do a ton of things on offense well. And a lot is going to be won pre-snap in this football game.
Listen, there are some things about Arkansas that, you got to get back to your roots here. Number one, you got to get the run game going against Arkansas. This is a bottom four rush defense in our league, flat out. right? So you've got to run the ball on them. You cannot make them make you one-dimensional. So I expect to see that, right? This O-line has been, you know, just a little bit above average at run blocking. Run blocking has really only failed, again, when we lose first and second down and we abandon the run.
Yep.
You know, we've been abandoning the run. So it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that. Like, can we get back to running the ball? Because that's where the strength of this team has always been. Through two SEC games, 91 passes, 58 rushes. So, when you talk about balance, Harsin said that he wanted to be, you know, started with being a downhill run team, but you got to run the ball. You got to find a way to do it. Their pass defense is the second best pass defense in our league right now. Only secondary only to Georgia. So you got to run the ball. You know, you need to pass the ball at about a 65 to 68% clip to keep them honest. And Tank and Jarquez Hunter should do work.
Right.
You know, they're challenge other than that, right? In terms of rushing, you know, Arkansas's rush offense here is they're top four in the league. I mean, they're going to try to run the ball as well, too.
Yeah, they're a good football team. I mean, they do a lot of things. I don't know if they're really elite at that many things, but they're pretty good at almost everything.
Yeah, 5.3 yard average per rush. Auburn, again, 6.1. So that's a battle that you have to win.
Yeah.
Our rush offenses versus their rush offense, we've got to win that battle there. Take some pressure off the quarterback in this one and move the ball. So, you know, the receivers have got to come back. They've got to bounce back from this. And, you know, I'm going to keeping an eye on wide receiver rotations again. You know, our coach has said you have to earn the right to play in practice. This is story. He's sticking to it. So if the guys on the field are earning the right, you know, they've got to have better production. Defensively, you know, Zakobi McClain had a really disappointing missed tackle against Georgia late in the fourth quarter where he just completely whiffed on the running back and they ended up scoring on that play.
Yeah.
We've got to get back to that. Our rush defense is the strength of this team. It is the absolute best aspect of this team. So, you know, for Arkansas, this game ends up being strength on strength, right? Their rush offense versus our rush defense.
Right.
If we win this battle, we win this game.
And I love that this Auburn defense has played against rushing quarterbacks already this season. I think that is something that's attractive and appealing. Is KJ Jefferson better at running than the other mobile quarterbacks they've faced so far? Sure. But from a mental rep and just kind of understanding and probably, you know, game plan install, I bet there's some things that they've already done this year that they're going to do again. So I like that a lot. Hopefully Owen Papo is back this week. We said that the last 2 weeks, but boy, they need him this weekend big time, because I think you're going to see more three linebacker sets if Owen comes back. I think Chandler Wooten has earned that. I think you want to see all three of those guys. And then, you know, just as far as the rotation up front, I think that's going to be interesting. With them running the ball, how much is Eku Leota play? Because he's become a dude that I want on the field as much as possible, but he is a better pass rusher than he is a run defender.
Yeah, yeah, he was tracking guys down.
He's great.
I thought he had a fairly good game against Georgia. Looking at KJ Jefferson, kind of circling back around to KJ Jefferson, you got to get to him, man. Listen, their line is not great in pass pro. They're not. So when he drops back, you got to get him. You got to get him on the ground, and you know he's 48% under pressure. He's not great. He's going to make mistakes. He's got three picks on the year. You got to force him to make some mistakes. You know, he's got a few turnover worthy plays. It's attack this quarterback, man. Attack this quarterback.
Yep.
Now, no defense was played last week.
Right.
In Arkansas versus Ole Miss, none whatsoever.
Right.
We can't get into that kind of game. Auburn, to quote, you know, famous TikTok, you're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. So we cannot get into a shootout, I don't think, with any team this year. Our defense has to hold them. And, you know, we have essentially failed to get to 28 points in almost every game since Penn State, you know, or since the first two games of the season. So, like, it's going to be, you know, we've got to figure out a way to put 30 points on the board at some point versus a Power 5 opponent.
And if you want to. If Auburn does not score 30 on Saturday, they probably lose. And let's go over some predictions in just a moment. Mike G, our guest on this War Report Wednesday. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Comes in a ton of different flavors, ranging from coconut to cherry to double chocolate to salted caramel. There's something for everyone. All their bars very high in protein, very low in calories. Most of their flavors around 70 grams of protein, just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order today. That is at built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's at built.com. Mike G, I'm feeling this game will be, I think my pick is going to be 27 to 24 Arkansas. I think Arkansas is going to win this game in a close one.
Because we're going strength on strength here, I'm going to bet on Auburn's run defense.
Okay.
I don't think they can wear us down the way Georgia did.
I agree.
And so, you know, that being said, there'll be plenty of opportunities offensively. If we can get back to the run, you know, I like that. If the receivers can make a few more plays for our quarterback, right? Again, can't stress enough, it's going to go both ways in the pass game.
Sure.
Bo makes a few better passes. The receivers make a few more catches and a few less drops. I like Auburn in this one. I think that it will be a close one, but I also think that Auburn can win this by about 10 points as well, too. So I can see a 30 to 20 type game here. I think this will be the week that they actually do break 28 points. I'm hoping to see Jarquez Hunter get some more touches. I think he's earned it. And we're 6 games in, so our offensive coaches have to start playing to what we know our team's strengths are. Right now, pass catching is not one of them.
That's true.
So the play calling has to account for that. And I'm wondering how much longer we're going to see them try to force this square peg down this round hole and just accept we don't do this well. We need to pick our spots, kind of like what Georgia did with Bennett. Mm-hmm. They managed him, man. He threw about 20 passes against us, but prior to that, he had not thrown more than 15 passes in any game this season.
Right.
He just hits those passes at a high enough clip that you got to respect it. And then they lean on the run game. So we took away their run game and forced him to throw the ball more than 15 times. Now, the problem with that was he hit those passes, right? Just enough that their run game was able to get going late in the game. So, for us, conversely, we just need to manage our quarterback, give him good throws, pick our spots a little better in the passing game so that they cannot load the box up against our running backs, control the clock, limit Arkansas's offensive possessions.
I want to wrap up today's show, Mike G, with the conversation about what a win this Saturday would mean and what a loss would mean for the rest of the season. So a win, it feels like 2 weeks ago, right, after Auburn beats LSU. Maybe not quite as euphoric, but I still think you get confidence going into the rest of the schedule. Can you beat Ole Miss at that point? Can you beat A&M? I think the confidence goes up across the team, across the fan base, across the SEC, all that good stuff. The other side of it is, it's like, okay, maybe you can get one of those. And then hopefully you take care of business against Mississippi State and South Carolina. It's just this is just a big game from a confidence standpoint. Because if you can beat Arkansas on the road, you can beat Ole Miss at home. You know what I mean?
Right. The significance of Bo going on the road twice in the SEC and coming out with the win cannot be understated. Mm-hmm. Because that's not something he's done very often in his career here at Auburn. So, he went into Death Valley and got our first win in 21 years.
Right.
And make no mistake, that win was all about Bo. Just a playmaker making plays.
Specifically backyard Bo.
Yeah, backyard Bo. I said it on Twitter, backyard Bo, however, is not a strategy.
Sure.
That is a fail-safe when all other things fail. But yep. You don't go in expecting back. I mean, there are just few players in history that play that way consistently.
Yeah.
At a high clip, like the Johnny Manziels of the world.
Yeah, and they win Heismans. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not what we have here.
Right.
So what a win Saturday will mean is it'll mean hope for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think that if you lose this game and if you lose it badly, hope starts to wane. And the significance of that is we paid $21 million to get rid of the last guy. And when we interviewed Allen Green and we asked him why the change, why pay that much money? His answer was profound. He said, when we evaluated the program, there wasn't the hope around the program that we would have wanted to see.
That is a powerful thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, in his world, when people start to lose hope, right, what happens? Fans stop buying tickets, merchandise sales go down, boosters stop donating money, right? Like, you know, when people in and around the program start to lose hope, it can crater your program.
Sure.
So you have to keep hope alive. Bringing in a new coach kind of sparks that hope. But, you know, we've got to give him time. This is year one. There were high expectations in year one. Now reality is starting to set in a little bit. But, you know, if you lose this game, you got to show improvement and you got to look competitive. And, you know, you're on the road versus a ranked team in the SEC West, which is definitely the toughest division in football every year, but particularly this year, mm-hmm. right? With, you know, Ole Miss and Bama and Texas A&M taking out Bama. And, like, I mean, come on, man. Every game left on our schedule is losable.
Right.
The way we played to this point, including South Carolina.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if South Carolina is like, I don't know.
Based on Georgia State, I have to say that South Carolina is losable.
Okay, that's fine.
If we had another performance like that, we could lose to South Carolina at South Carolina on the road.
They're terrible. Like, I would like to see South Carolina play Georgia State.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know you don't like the transitive property.
I don't, but
still, yeah, I just think I'm looking at that and I'm like, there could be 3 wins left on the schedule or there could be 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in a complete doomsday scenario, there are 0.
Gosh.
So go.
It's going to be a long summer if that's the case.
Yeah, play this game like it's the Iron Bowl, man. Mm-hmm. Play it like the championship is on the line every week from here on in. We are at the halfway point. At this point, you're kind of done evaluating your team.
Right.
You know what you have and you know what you don't have. Now we need to call plays and come up with game plans that utilize our strengths and cover our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's where coaching comes in. Now, you know, if you've been listening to me, you know I'm way harder on coaches than I am on players.
I think that's fair.
Millionaires tasked with putting these kids in a good position to utilize their athletic abilities to the best of their ability is always going to be paramount.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to put a cap on it.
Sure.
You win this game to keep hope alive. Right. And you go out there and, you know, Harsin was like an hour late to the post game presser on Saturday. I was told through the grapevine it was because he was chewing ass in the locker room over what he saw.
Penn State took a while too, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like
if he's using it to coach and to motivate and to inspire in whatever way works for that specific player, that's mm-hmm. fine. His job is always in every second of every day where it's possible. Is for him to make the team better. And there is an unlimited amount of ways to do that. And so if he was using it when his team was beat up and just got embarrassed on their home turf,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I have no issue with him doing that at all.
Yeah, listen, I was take your time, coach.
Do your job. Yeah. You're going to pay a lot of money to do it. You do it. Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Mike G, what's going on these days at the War Report?
You know, same old, same old. If you're watching, this is a War Report Wednesday at Locked yes. On. But we're busy over at the War Report. We had our first company tailgate out at the Georgia game. So all our subs came out and just kind of hung out with us and ate ribs and had a beer. It was great meeting everybody. We'll probably do that again before the end of the year.
Cool.
We've got our Watch the Film segments on Mondays. There's a lot of reasons. You can go check us out on YouTube. We're active on all social media platforms. Particularly, we're dropping some recruiting segments to keep everybody updated on commitments as they're happening.
Sure.
So, subscribe on YouTube. Sign up as an insider. Get access to some of the special segments that we're doing, particularly Watch the Film. It's one thing we can all argue about what happened, but I'll tell you, one thing I was reminded of is watching the game from the press box Saturday, there's so much you cannot see until you go back and look at the film.
Right. You're right.
I do it every week. So, but normally I'm sitting in my living room in DC watching the game on TV, so I don't have to rewatch as much. Mm-hmm. I had to rewatch the whole game, and half the things I thought were true were not after I watched the film. So, sign up as an insider and get access to that segment. That's something that nobody else is doing here on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. Brother, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Yep. That is Mike G with the War Report. Be sure to check out their channel. And we'll be back tomorrow with a little crossover action. We'll talk to John Neighbors, host of Locked On Razorbacks. Get you ready for Saturday. We'll see you then right here on Locked On Auburn.